Turn to Proverbs 9:9. This is still wisdom's message. That, you know, remember, wisdom had built her house a while back there, and she sent her maidens out, and she's calling people to come into her house, and she's told them to forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. And she tells them in verses 7 and 8 not to reprove a scorner, because you get yourself a blot and you get yourself hatred. And then in verse 9, she says, or her maidens say, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So there's a lot in this verse. This is pretty interesting. So let's look at that first part. Give instruction to a wise man. Instruction is the action of instructing or teaching, the imparting of knowledge or skill, education, information. Wise, I'll remind you, we've just heard this here a minute ago, but wise is having or exercising sound judgment or discernment, capable of judging truly concerning what is right or fitting, and disposed to act accordingly, having the ability to perceive and adopt the best means for accomplishing an end, characterized by good sense and prudence, opposed to foolish. So wise men are willing to be taught because they have sound judgment and discernment, and therefore they realize that there's a lot they have to learn. Right? A wise person, by definition, has good judgment and discernment. And because of that, he realizes that I don't know everything, that I'm not as wise as I could be, that I have things to learn. See, fools think they know everything. We'll get into that in just a second. A wise son hears his father's instruction, we're told in Proverbs 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but scorners heareth not rebuke. A wise man accepts reproof. Proverbs 15:31. We're just going to go through a few verses here which show us the characteristics of the wise. Proverbs 15:31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. In other words, wise people hear the reproof of life. Fools don't. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. It just shows you the difference in people, doesn't it? A wise man you can reprove, and he accepts it and takes it and changes. A fool, you can beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him, and he will never change, no matter what you do to him. You wonder why people are like that. And you just think, well, do you like pain? Why don't you just learn? But some people just can't for some reason. Some kids are like that, and some kids never grow out of that, unfortunately. Conversely, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Remember Proverbs 1:7, that's what it says there, that fools despise wisdom and instruction, because they think they know everything. Let me just give you some verses here which show us why fools despise wisdom and instruction. Because, I mean, imagine if you're a PhD in chemistry and you have some seventh grader that's just taken an introduction to chemistry in high school, and he wants to sit you down and teach you about chemistry. Chances are you're going to despise that kid because you're thinking, I know more about chemistry than you will ever know. I know more than your teacher and your entire school system knows. Why are you teaching me? Now, that would be an arrogant attitude, but it's true. Right? He knows everything about chemistry. There's nothing this kid can possibly tell him that he doesn't know. So he despises the instruction because he knows everything. Right? Well, that's how fools are just in general. They just don't want to be taught anything because they know it all. Right? Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? Conceit is his own thought, his own mind. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. You take a person that thinks he's wise, that thinks he's smart. In his own mind, I'm a smart guy. I'm a wise guy. He doesn't want to hear what you have to say. This tells me that people that tell you that they're wise are not wise. Because Solomon said there, if you're wise in your own conceit, there's more hope of a fool than you. So beware of the person that tells you how wise he is. He's probably not all that wise. Verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit, in his own mind, in his own estimation, than seven men that can render a reason. I was thinking about this. So the sluggard's the lazy guy, right? Imagine this guy. He's just not working. He's on unemployment. He just, you know, just doesn't feel like working. And he's got seven friends. And his seven friends, one after another, come up and say, you know, you really ought to be working to provide for yourself. Nah. The other friend comes up. You know, you ought to be working to provide for your family. Third friend, you ought to be working to lay up for the future, you know? Nah, I'm not worried about that. You ought to be working to give to God, the fourth friend says. You ought to be working to give to the poor so you have some left over and take care of the poor. Take care of your, you know, maybe some poor family members or whatever. Nah, I don't need that. The sixth one comes up. You know, you ought to be working so you don't have to rely on others. Nah. Seventh one comes up. You know, you ought to be working. It's good for your mental health, good for your physical health. It gives you purpose. It gives you a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction. It'd just be good for you all around. These guys are idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. Seven men, they can give a reason why, hey, you know, you gotta get up off your butt and you gotta go start working. No, no. He's wiser in his own conceits than all of his friends that can give reasons. That's characteristic of somebody that really thinks they're smart. They can't be taught anything. And then Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. So, for, well, most people, apparently, because it says every way of a man is right in his own eyes, it doesn't even say a fool, it just says a man. So, most people think, probably all people, think that their ways are right in their own eyes. Because very few people will willingly, knowingly, do the wrong thing, right? Most people, unless you're some just a desperately wicked person and you just enjoy doing the wrong thing because it's the wrong thing. I don't think there's many people like that out there. But what they do is, because lots of people do the wrong thing, but they think it's the right thing. And you know why they think it's the right thing? Because they've deceived themselves into believing it's the right thing. They've talked themselves into it. Right. Maybe they thought it, maybe they weren't so comfortable with it at first, but they've talked themselves into it enough. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. You can deceive yourself and tell yourself that what you're doing is right. It's the right and good thing. And you can deceive others, but the Lord looks straight into the heart. He looks straight through all that BS, and the Lord knows exactly why you're doing it and whether you've deceived yourself. The Lord knows all that. But this just goes to show you, this is why fools despise wisdom and instruction, because every way is right in their own eyes, right? What they're doing is right, and how dare you tell me that I'm doing something that's wrong?
Well, Pastor,
go ahead.
Oh, we may have some. I just thought about something that I think is related to that. If you had to hold on to, let's say, your uncle, okay? He has hold on to this Arminian, he's a right doctrine mm-hmm. for a long time, and you show him the truth. It's just going to be hard to let go of that, of what he has learned for a long time.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Especially when it's your livelihood and your whole life has been wrapped up in preaching something. Then, yeah, I mean, that'd be terribly hard, yeah. That's why you don't meet very many preachers that convert to, you know, the truth. Brian DuPont is the rare exception. That guy's a unicorn. I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
With the person deceiving themselves and then their way is right in their own eyes, at some point they made that decision to mm-hmm. go with something that they initially would have known, in many cases, knew wasn't right,
yeah.
But at some point they buy into their own justification, so mm-hmm. there's still a cognitive, accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly right. And you'll notice sometimes people will do something today that maybe a year ago that they would have just considered no way, and it just happens over time where it's one little step towards it, and then that's okay. I mean, that's not so bad, and then one more step, and before you know it, they've convince themselves that something that they would have never done is perfectly okay. We've probably all been there and then realized how far down we got and say, whoa, wait a minute. We've got to back this train up. Look at Isaiah 51 and verse 21.
Is that what you want? I think you didn't see.
5. Isaiah 5:21. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You must be clairvoyant or something. You could read my mind. Or read the outline, one of the two. Yeah. Is that the right word, clairvoyant? I think that's, I think that's correct.
Yeah, supernatural things.
Yeah. My mind reading. I think that's right. But I have been known to misuse words. Isaiah 5:21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's why fools don't like to be instructed, because they're wise in their own eyes. They already know it all. And then one more. Romans 12:14. Most of these verses are back in Proverbs, but Paul taught the same thing. Romans 12:14. What verse did I want? 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own thoughts, in your own estimation of yourself, in other words. If any man will become wise, let him become a fool, the scripture says, or some words to that effect. So this verse teaches us several things, this Proverbs 9:9, when it says, give instruction to a wise man. So there's four things we can learn from this at least. Number one, teachers need to instruct wise men as well as simpletons. Because he flat out says, give instruction to a wise man. So it's not just the simple that need to be instructed, but wise people need to be instructed too. That's why in church, you know, the preacher teaches everybody. It doesn't matter if somebody is extremely knowledgeable in the scriptures. He sits there and listens to maybe an elementary sermon that he's heard many, many times and could probably preach himself, but it's still necessary to give instruction to a wise man. It's good to be reminded of things, and of course there's always new things to learn. Number two, wise men need to be taught despite already having wisdom. Right? Give instruction to a wise man. So they obviously have wisdom, but they still need to be taught because there's more to learn. Number three, wise men are wise enough to know that they need continuous instruction. I remember one time, this is a long time ago, a brother who was erring out of the way told me that he didn't really listen to the sermon. I said, mentioned something about listening to the sermons, you know, like when you're driving or something. He's like, oh, no, I already know all that stuff. And he didn't need to listen because he already knew it all. And, you know, chances are he probably didn't. And if you have that kind of an attitude, there's at least some sermons you need to hear, because your attitude is messed up, for sure. I mean, I know a thing or two about the Bible, and I still listen to lots of sermons, because I learn new things, and I have things, you know, cemented in there that I may have forgotten about, or just, you know, things are always said in a bit of a different way, and you can listen to a sermon on the exact same topic, and one preacher may just say something in just a certain way, and it just clicks. I mean, how many sermons have I heard on sovereign grace? I don't even know how many. And I've heard this and heard it, and I've taught it myself for so long, and I'll listen to a sermon on sovereign grace, and something will just click. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a really good point. I never thought about that, or never heard it quite like that, or whatever. I mean, the riches of God in the scriptures are unsearchable, so there's just no end to it. There's no reason for anybody to ever say, oh, I don't need to listen to the teaching anymore, because, you know, there's always something to learn. And then lesson number four. None of us will ever get to the point that we don't need instruction, no matter how wise we become. Even Jesus Christ, at least when he was a young man, when he was a child, he was God manifest in the flesh, and he grew in wisdom. And I'll talk about that here in just a second. So even he was learning as he went. Now, the instruction that wise men need to be given is instruction from the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. There's all kinds of instruction out there. There's all kinds of interesting things to learn. But the most important thing that wise men need to learn is God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So scripture is profitable for instruction. Give instruction to a wise man. Well, here's where you do it. And then here's what happens. And he will be yet wiser. So you give instruction to a wise man, he'll get wiser. Now, this is interesting. In that a wise man can become wiser, there are therefore degrees of wisdom, aren't there? Right? If you can become wiser, that means there are degrees, right? Let me show you some examples of this. Daniel, it was said, had excellent wisdom. Daniel 5 and verse 14. Daniel 5 and verse 14. It says, I have even heard of thee that the spirit... This is Belshazzar, Daniel's name was Belteshazzar. But Belshazzar is saying this. He says, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Daniel had a reputation. He had interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. He was exceedingly wise. His wisdom was said to be excellent, which means when speaking of a person or a thing, that excels or surpasses in any respect preeminent, superior, supreme of qualities existing in a greater or an exceptionally great degree. So this king was saying, and I think it was true, even though he's a pagan, he says the spirit of the gods is in you, he didn't understand that quite right, but Daniel did have excellent wisdom, a high degree of wisdom. So that shows that he was wiser than some other men that were wise, just not as wise as he was. And then, of course, you have Solomon. He was wiser than all men of his day. 1 Kings 4 and verse 31. Just showing you the degrees of wisdom. 1 Kings 4 and verse 31. Speaking of Solomon, it says, for he was wiser than all men. And then it lists off some of these guys that you never heard of before. They were wise, but they weren't wise like he was, and that's why we've never heard of them before. They have been lost down the tunnel of history. And then, of course, Jesus Christ was wiser even than Solomon. Matthew 12 and verse 42. So we got degrees of wisdom. That's why I've put them in this order. Daniel had excellent wisdom. Solomon was wiser than all men, so I'm assuming his wisdom obviously excelled Daniel's, though he lived before him. And then Jesus Christ's wisdom excelled Solomon. So you have wise, wiser, and wisest. Daniel, Matthew 12 and verse 42. Matthew 12, 42. It says, the queen of the south shall rise in judgment... up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. This is the queen of Sheba that came to Solomon to hear his wisdom. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He's referring to himself. He was wiser than Solomon. And we're told that the children of this world are in many ways and in many times wiser than God's children. Let me give you a couple of verses here. Luke 16 and verse 8. Just to show you that there are degrees of wisdom. And unfortunately, us believers are bested by the people out there in the world. When it comes to worldly wisdom anyway, a lot of the time, they've got us beat. It says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. He was the guy that was going to lose his stewardship, and he took all the creditors aside and said, oh, you owe 100? Okay, write down 80. Oh, you owe 80? Write down 50. And that way he was cutting them a deal, and they would reciprocate after he was out of the stewardship. And the steward said, you know what? This guy's pretty wise. And that was pretty crafty, pretty clever. See, you wouldn't have thought of that, would you? I wouldn't have either. Because that's not right. You're screwing your employer. I mean, you're basically saying, oh, you owe him 100, write down 80. You know, so he's not, Well, that's why you wouldn't have thought of that, because the children of this world are smarter than you are, right? They're wiser than you are in the worldly sense. Look at Ezekiel 28, verses 3 through 5. Now, if you say, oh, I would have thought of that, I'm going to start watching you. Ezekiel 28 and verses 3 through 5.
I didn't know if it might be a thing where his boss, his lord, was glad to get something out of those people, even though they owed him more, that he would recognize that this guy, no, he didn't get it all, but he served himself by making friends with them and cutting them a deal, but he served this guy by getting over half the amount that he was owed.
I never thought about that. I mean, he could have at least been happy that that he did that much, because he could have just given account of thy stewardship and just burned it all. And now that's an interesting thought.
The charge card do that now if you try to get out of debt.
They do what?
They'll do that to help you get out of debt.
Oh, they'll, like, write down the amount that you owe.
Total. You got all this interest added on to it. Now, okay, if you pay off the original sum,
oh, yeah.
They'll cut it.
They do it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, it makes sense to get some back than none for them. Yeah. And then we have this description of the king of Tyrus, the prince of Tyrus. And it was said here in Ezekiel 28, 3 through 5, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Mm-hmm. Now remember, Daniel had excellent wisdom, so Daniel was wiser than a lot. And it said of him, he's wiser than Daniel. So you got these degrees of wisdom. And there is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver in thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. He's really proud of himself. You know who this king of Tyrus, was it Tyrus? You know who this king of Tyrus was animated by and was representing? The devil himself. Yep. Because when you read down just in verse 12, he says, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. And then he goes on to say that he was in Eden in the garden of God, and, you know, the I wills and all these things. Talking about Satan there. He was the anointed cherub that covereth in verse 14. So this is a worldly wise man here. He had used his wisdom, because he was exceeding wise, to get himself a lot of riches. That's what the people of this world do. They've got that pretty well figured out. Now, there are some animals, such as ants and conies, locusts and spiders, that are said to be exceeding wise. Proverbs 30. See, we see here, even among the animal kingdom, there is a hierarchy of wisdom. There are some animals that aren't all that bright, like the ostrich. It forgets where our eggs were and crushes them and smashes them in the earth. Right? Like, you know, dogs that follow cats around and eat their feces for snacks. You know, not all that bright.
Oh, that poor little cardinal. That I was just
thinking, they kept flying into the window.
You said the Lord had deprived her of wisdom.
Yeah.
And she was just, oh, hours, days. She just pecked at the basement window at her reflection, I guess.
Oh.
You know why that is? Because she's got a bird brain.
I thought you were going to say something before.
No. Proverbs 30, 24 through 28. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. It's funny, nobody even tells them. They just know. They know winter's coming. I mean, they must have a brain that's like the size of a pinhead, but they somehow know, and they just go out there and they start gathering, taking it back to the hill. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. Somehow they just know how to do that. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. So they are said to be exceeding wise. And we should consider their ways and be wise. Remember, that's what Solomon told us in Proverbs chapter 6, talking about the ant, how wise he is. Proverbs 6 and verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. You can learn from the animals, learn from because they're industrious and they save and they, you know, they work hard and all that. And Job tells us that we should be wiser than animals. Job 35 and verse 11. Job 35:11. It says, "Who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven?" With a question mark. Obviously the answer is God. So the implication there is that we should be wiser than fowls, right? Some people I wonder about. But, you know, birds are at least smart enough to build a nest, right? Have some place for them to stay. Birds are smart enough to care for their young, right? Birds are very, pretty much all animals are, but birds are very defensive of their young. Go find a bird's nest in the springtime and try to climb up there and get at it. I did that when I was a kid. I mean, this robin was doing, you know, nosedives at you. I mean, she was not going to let you anywhere near those eggs or those babies. So, you know, the birds could teach some people some things about natural affection towards their children, possibly, things like that. Now, a man can, this is another thing we can learn from this, right? Give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. So that tells us that a man can and should be wiser than he was in the past. Right? That's the goal, that's the idea. Jesus is a great example of this. He increased in wisdom as he grew up. Look at Luke 2 and verse 51. I mean, hopefully every one of us, we should be able to look back at maybe the past year or at least the past decade or something, look back at various stages of your life and think, yep, I'm wiser than I was back then. You know, I remember doing this thing back then and I wouldn't do that now because I know better, right? So we all ought to be growing in wisdom. We ought not to be digressing in it, which seems to be the direction of our culture that we live in. Luke 2 and verse 52. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So he grew up physically, spiritually, socially, and intellectually. He increased in wisdom. Now it's interesting, Jesus was 12 years old when this was said of him, which means that he increased in wisdom throughout his teenage years. Think about that. Luke 2:42, it says, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." This is when it said that he increased in wisdom. After this, he increased in wisdom. Now think about that. How many kids today do you know that increase in wisdom from 12 years old through their teenage years? I honestly don't see very many of them. I mean, I see some pretty pitiful results out there among the youth. I'd say that most teenagers and most 20-somethings, for that matter, and oftentimes these days even people of all ages, decrease in wisdom until reality hits them like a 2x4 between the eyes. And that's pretty sad to me. I mean, I can tell you a tale of two brothers that I knew, both raised by the same parents. One of the brothers, by the time he was 22, graduated from college, no debt, 20 grand in the bank, because he managed his money and was wise with it. The other brother, 22 years old, had $20,000 of credit card debt at that age. Right. So the first one is what people should be doing, increasing as wisdom, in wisdom as you go from 18 to 22, right? And amassing wealth instead of amassing debt, right? Just an example of that. I think that, and I was just thinking about this, that the decade of one's 20s is a crucial time in life for saving money and for creating a good foundation for life. But I think a lot of people squander and waste those years, the years of the 20s, because most people, I mean, just think about what the average person does. Most kids out there in their 20s, what are they doing? They, as soon as they get a little bit of money, they get a job and they start making some money, they blow it all. They don't save a penny of it. They're out there running around. They're going to bars. They're drinking. They're having a good time with their friends. If they're not drinking, they're having a good time with their friends. They're going out. They're going to the movies. They're spending every penny that they make. They go out and buy the most expensive car they can afford, whatever that might happen to be. They take on a bunch of debt, bunch of credit card debt, bunch of car debt, you know. the decade of a person's 20s is a total waste in most cases. It shouldn't be that way, especially if you're not married. I mean, that's a good time in life to be working hard, laying up, preparing for life, preparing for marriage, preparing for kids, studying the scriptures. But in most people's lives I see, it's just, that's a wasted decade. Unless you get married really early, and then usually marriage kind of turns a boy into a man and he has to quit being a moron. But for single people, what a waste. And the talk about, you know, throwing away your youth. I just really wish, and it's just a small church, I wish we had teenagers in this church that I could preach to, because I really have a heart for teenagers. And I just see what these kids, the things that they're facing, the odds stacked against them, the lack of instruction that they get at school and at home and everywhere else. And I just would love nothing more to have some teenagers that were converted, that actually want to learn, that want to be wise, that say, you know what, I want to have a good life. Teach me what I need to do in the next decade or 20 years to have a good and successful life. I'd love nothing more than to have that opportunity. Maybe someday I will. I don't know.
Since only age group was missing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yep. I know. But we have what the Lord's given us, so. But maybe someday. So it was said of Solomon that he became more wise than others. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 15. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me, and why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. So I just really wanted that part. He says, why was I then more wise? So he had gone through this great research project in life to try to become more wise, and he'd searched out everything, and he'd tried everything under the sun, and he comes to realize that everything's vanity, and what was the point? Why did I even try to make myself more wise? Because it just seems like there's no point to life. He figured out the point to life at the end of the book, fear God and keep his commandments. But this is the whole duty of man. But at this point, he's wondering, why did I even make myself more wise? What is the point? Because if all you're looking at is life under the sun, what is the point of making yourself more wise? It might make your life a little better. It would, right? But ultimately, yeah, who cares, really? Just, if that's all there is to it, it's probably not really worth the time and the effort, is it? A wise man who hears instruction from men who are wiser than he is will increase in learning. Remember Proverbs 1 and verse 5. This is how you can tell a wise man, because he seeks out other wise men that he can learn from. Proverbs 1 and verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So there's a wise man going to wise counsel. He's finding people that are wiser than he is, because there's always going to be somebody that's wiser than you out there somewhere, right? None of us are Jesus Christ, so there's always going to be wiser people out there. You just got to look for them and find them, but then when you find them, you know, go to them and be yet wiser. So there's three things that are told us in Psalm 119, right in a row, three verses in a row. The first one is that we can be wiser than our enemies by reading and keeping God's word. Let's look at Psalm 119 and verse 98. We're still just looking at this, you know, give instruction to a wise man and he be yet wiser. Well, here's how you do it. It's by taking heed to the scriptures. Psalm 119 and verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Not the enemies, but the commandments. So, there you can be wiser than your enemies if you got God's word. Secondly, a student can have more understanding than his teachers if he studies and meditates on the scripture. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, I don't know very many people that can say that, but Jesus Christ could have said that, right? He could have said, I have more understanding than my teachers, because when he met with those teachers there when he was 12 years old, they were amazed at his answers and questions, right? Because he had been meditating in the scripture. And then, well, I shouldn't say that. There's probably plenty of college students that are converted, that have been studying their Bible, and go to college and listen to some of these knucklehead, woke professors, and they most certainly have more knowledge and more understanding than those professors do, at least when it comes to the things of God and the important things of life, for sure. And then verse 100 says that we can have more understanding than old men if we keep God's precepts. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. So keeping God's precepts gives you more understanding than your enemies, your teachers, and even old people. Because wisdom is not measured by the number of years a man has lived, but by the decisions he makes. I just thought about that. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Wisdom is not measured by the number of years a man has lived, but by the decisions he makes. You think about it, it doesn't really matter how old you are. You could be 90 years old and maybe look like the stereotypical old wise man, but if people see you making stupid decisions, right, and you're drinking yourself half to death, and you have a girlfriend that comes over and, you know, that you're not married to and stays the night. I mean, whatever, you know, whatever. I could come up with all kinds of things. He's sitting there watching pornography or something. I don't care how old you are, right? That's not wisdom. It's the decisions that you make shows whether you're wise or not. And if a man was not wise in his earlier years, then he can and should strive to be wise in his latter years by hearing counsel and receiving instruction. Let's look at Proverbs 19, verse 20. That's the beautiful thing about Christianity and salvation in Christ, is that there's hope for anybody at any age. It doesn't matter. If you know, there's lots of people that weren't converted until right at the end of their life or something, and they made all kinds of terrible mistakes. But you know what? The slate gets wiped clean, and you get to start over again. And if you were foolish in your youth, well, be wise now. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And then the last part of the verse. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Just is that does what is morally right, righteous. Just before or with God, or simply just. Righteous in the sight of God, justified. It says now chiefly it's a biblical archaism. A righteous man who's been justified by the grace, blood, and faith of Jesus Christ will increase in learning when taught. That's how you become a just man, right? Teach a just man and he'll increase in learning. How do you become a just man? Well, it says in Romans 3 and verse 24 that we are justified by the grace of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:9 says that we're justified by his blood. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. And Galatians 2:16 says we're justified by his faith, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So if you're justified by Christ, then you will increase in learning when you're taught, because a just man, when taught, this is what Solomon says, teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Unlike an unjust man, a natural man, the just man has the ability to hear and understand the word of God. Remember 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. This is why when you teach a just man, he increases in learning, because he has the spiritual capacity. He has the capacity for spiritual understanding that when he's taught, he will increase in learning. But the natural man, the unjust man, has no such capacity. He can't. You give him all the instruction you want, he's not going to increase in learning. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You've got to receive that new spirit that God gives to know the things of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So you've got to have the Spirit which is from God to understand. Then you have to understand how to read the Bible to understand it, and that is by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the man there in the first couple of verses of that passage, you teach him and he'll increase in learning because he can. He's got the ability. The natural man, he didn't receive it. He can't. But the thing about the just man is he can learn, because it says that he will increase in learning. Learn is to acquire knowledge of a subject or skill in an art, etc., as a result of study, experience, or teaching. So he's capable of growing in knowledge, in other words, of learning. He's got the ability. Learning is the action of the verb learn. It's the action of receiving instruction or acquiring knowledge. So you teach a just man and he will acquire that knowledge. He will soak it up. The just man is bidden by Christ to come and learn of him. That's the call of the gospel. That's why Christianity is a religion of teaching, of learning. That's why the sermons are the bulk of the service in our church. Right? That's why we meet a couple times a week, Bible study and Sundays, to learn. That's why when we sing hymns, we are to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's things that can actually be learned from the songs that we sing. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He didn't say, take my yoke upon you and feel good, right? Get these great, warm, fuzzy feelings. Have an emotional high. Have a feeling of ecstasy. Now, some of that, I mean, those good feelings come with learning. But he said, come and learn of me. And that's missing in a lot of churches these days. A lot of churches out there is very, very little learning that goes on. It's all about emotion. It's all about feel-good stuff. It says, teach a just man and he will increase in learning. This is going to be the last point. One person that can teach a just man and a wise man is himself. We ought to be teaching ourselves and adding learning to our own lips. Proverbs 16:23. I have heard this quote before, and I've told this to young people that are graduating high school. Now that your schooling is over, your education can begin. Right, that's now you don't have to spend 7 hours a day learning a bunch of nonsense that you're probably never going to use and is not really going to be all that worthwhile to you. Now, when you have time, you can spend time studying things that you're actually interested in, that actually matter, that can improve the quality and character of your life. Or you can sit around and watch TV like all the rest of the adults out there. But you have the ability, if you want to read and learn and grow. Proverbs 16 and verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. See, the teacher in this case is the wise. He's teaching himself. He's teaching his mouth. He's adding learning to his lips. He's probably teaching his mouth to stay shut a lot. That's the first thing. One of the first things we should teach ourselves. That's hard to learn, isn't it? All right? It says the tongue is can no man tame. That's something that I think most other people struggle with, learning how to keep that mouth shut and learning how to open it when you should. That seems like when I'm usually upset with myself over either opening my mouth or not opening it, one of the two. Either I should have kept it shut or I should have opened it and I didn't do one of the two. But he teaches his mouth to stay shut, and then he adds learning to his lips. So he learns and then he speaks the things that he's learned that can be edifying and helpful to others and encouraging to others, instructive to others. That's what the wise man does. So that takes care of Proverbs 9 and verse 9.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.